Federal health officials haven't issued a forecast for the number of people who will be insured through the Affordable Care Act during 2018. Those numbers were crunched in the past 4 years of healthcare.gov, but not so this enrollment season. The most recent figures of the number of people covered are from March, showing 10.3 million Americans with health insurance through the ACA. How much will enrollment drop off in the Trump administration? Sabrina Corlett is a research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. Sabrina, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, in a recent CNN piece, the sign-up period was referred to Obamacare enrollment without Obama. So with that in mind, how different is open enrollment as it begins today than we have seen in the past versus now here we are with President Trump in open enrollment season?
Well, the important thing for folks to know, of course, is that Obamacare is still alive and kicking. So if you have coverage through one of the large marketplaces, now, today is the first day you can start shopping and to come in and check out your coverage options and pick a plan. And so in that respect, nothing has changed. There are, of course, changes that people will need to be aware of. The most significant is that the open enrollment period, the window of time that you have, is now much shorter. It will end on December 15th this year.
And how big of a deal is that to have a shorter enrollment period?
It is a concern, and I think most experts believe that it will lead to fewer people ultimately signing up. There's a couple of reasons for that. In past years, the open enrollment season has extended into January, and I think that's helped, especially for families that are dealing with the holidays or a lot of holiday expenses. It allows them to sort of spread that out, the premiums out a little bit. The other big issue this year is a lot of people are automatically enrolled. They don't actively shop. It's sort of just like a lot of us with employer plans.
Oh,
sort of
it rolls over.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, this year, if that happens, they won't be able to come back and switch to a plan if they don't like the one they've been auto-enrolled into. So, and that's simply just because the clock stops on December 15th. So, whereas in past years, if you didn't like what you got, you got to switch. This year, there really won't be much time to do that at all.
And if you auto-enroll in a plan that is going away, that doesn't exist, another plan will be chosen for you?
That's right, yes. What happens is if you don't come in and pick a plan yourself, essentially the system will just sort of re-enroll you into a plan that's as similar as possible to as the one you have now. But again, if you don't like it, you're really out of luck because this year the door closes, slams shut on December 15th, which is about the time the auto enrollment takes place.
Sabrina, there's been so much back and forth on healthcare in the last few months, repeal and replace. It can be hard for Americans to know what is the law and what isn't. With that in mind, are we seeing people who may not know that they can still legally get health care in 2018?
Yeah, there is so much confusion out there, and I think a lot of it's come from misinformation. And I think a lot of folks who really rely on this coverage are worried. And so I do want to make very clear the law has proven remarkably resilient, even in spite of multiple attacks on it. But that coverage is still available. There are still subsidies available based on your income that you can get to reduce your premiums and reduce your cost sharing. So it's really important for people to go to that healthcare.gov website, see what they might qualify for, and sign up for a plan. And especially if you don't have coverage, remember that individual mandate, that requirement that you keep your coverage, is still in place. So you could pay a tax penalty if you don't hang on to your coverage.
And with fewer navigators, some navigators not at all, with cuts from the Health and Human Services Department, and how does that impact people trying to understand these plans?
Yeah, that was a really unfortunate decision. As you said, the funding for that program was cut 90%. So there's just going to be a lot fewer people available to help consumers when they have questions. And of course, this is a year where I think there will be a lot of questions. I think there are still available, and there are still some in Wisconsin. There is a call center, a 1-800 number that you can call to try to get some help. And then there's also insurance brokers often are available to help as well.
We're talking right now with Sabrina Corlett. She is a research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. We're discussing the Affordable Care Act and open enrollment season that begins today. And the cutoff for choosing a plan under healthcare.gov is December 15th, so a much shorter window for open enrollment. You can join in with your questions for Sabrina, 800-642-1234. Will you be using the marketplace this year? Have you scoped out plans already? What are prices looking like? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Sabrina, the so-called window shopping tool for the Federal Exchange, it went live last week, allowing consumers to get a peek of the plans available for purchase. And some people might be experiencing some sticker shock. What are we seeing as far as plans on the exchange and the cost of them?
Well, prices have gone up, and I think that is mostly reflecting all of the uncertainty that's been coming out of Washington this last year. If insurance companies, we know one thing about them, and it's they don't like uncertainties. So unfortunately, they have bumped up the premiums because of that uncertainty. And then, as folks may be aware, the Trump administration decided to cut off a major subsidy for the insurers that help them offer plans to low-income folks. And with that going away, that's also causing prices to go up. I will say, however, that first of all, if you are eligible for a subsidy, and you are if you make up to about $47,000 a year, you shouldn't pay more, because what that subsidy does is it caps the amount of income that you have to pay towards your premium. So as long as you come back and shop and look around at your options, you should be protected from any of these premium increases.
And so are there some cases where plans might be less expensive, where plans might be more cost effective this time around?
Yeah, so this is the really somewhat ironic twist, and I'm not sure President Trump quite anticipated this in making his decision, but by cutting off these cost-sharing subsidies, these are these subsidies for these low-income plans, perversely, it actually increases the subsidy that the government pays to reduce premiums. So what it means for consumers is that they may actually be getting a bigger premium subsidy than they have in past years, which could allow them to buy a more generous plan, to buy, for example, a gold level plan, which is covers about much benefits more generously than a silver or a bronze, or they might be able to buy a bronze level plan for almost no premium at all. So, in a way, I'm not sure that the Trump administration intended that effect, but that is how it's working out.
Sabrina, are there fewer plans out there to choose from, or is there still coverage from coast to coast for people?
Well, there certainly was a lot of worry over the summer that there would be a mass exodus of insurance companies. But as it turns out, every single county in the country has at least one insurer participating. But there has been a drop-off, and particularly for folks living in rural areas, they may find that they don't have as many choices as they have in the past. But even if there is only one insurance company, people should still have choices of plans. Oftentimes, an insurer will offer both an HMO option and a preferred provider network option, or different levels of coverage like the bronze, silver, gold that I mentioned.
President Trump has repeatedly claimed that the Affordable Care Act marketplaces are dead or virtually dead. Standard & Poor's analysis is predicting a drop of about 1 million people nationwide who sign up for 2018 coverage. As open enrollment begins today for the ACA, we're looking at the stability of the ACA marketplaces and healthcare.gov. What do you want to know when shopping the healthcare exchange? Sabrina Corlett stays with us. She is a research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Will you be shopping for a premium? Join in. We'll be back after this news update. The law known as Obamacare is still in effect. However, President Trump has vowed again and again to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. The annual open enrollment season for health plans sold on marketplaces set up through the ACA begins today. Good morning. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Approximately 217,000 Wisconsinites get their health coverage through the ACA and Wisconsin's partial expansion of eligibility for Medicaid. The Covering Wisconsin website, that is coveringwi.org, has information and guidance. There are unknowns, though, that we're working through with Sabrina Corlett, who stays with us. She is a research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. Join in the conversation about ACA marketplaces, 800-642-1234. What has been your experience finding a health plan? Have you started shopping? In Wisconsin, Molina Healthcare and Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield are no longer offering plans sold directly to families. Are you impacted? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Patty now, who joins us from Milwaukee. Hi, Patty. Go ahead.
Good morning. And this is part of the Affordable Health Care Act issue, but I've got a family member who she was just deemed for Social Security disability for a severe condition. And I was horrified when we found out that included with her Social Security disability, she won't get health insurance coverage under Medicare or Medicaid, whatever it is, for 2 years. So she's disabled, she can't work anymore, and now she has to purchase her insurance through the Affordable Care Act, which is precariously existing.
Sabrina, let's get Sabrina to go ahead here.
Sure. So first of all, thank you for helping out your relative in this challenging time. It's not easy to figure this stuff out, and so thank you for helping her out. We all should be doing that for each other during this period. The first thing I would suggest is when you go to healthcare.gov, there is a link called Find Local Help. And while there are a reduced number of counselors available to help folks out, they do exist. And if you're in Milwaukee, you'll probably have better luck because you're in an urban area. So I would try to find a counselor who might be available to help you and your relative find a plan. It's also, depending on her income, it's also likely she's going to be eligible for financial help. So the first thing you might want to do is get a determination of that, and she may be able to get a pretty good reduction in her premium as well as deductibles and other forms of cost sharing. So I would start with that Find Local Help button on that healthcare.gov website.
And Sabrina, how should Wisconsinites know whether to enroll in Badger Care Plus for low-income Wisconsinites or healthcare.gov?
Well, on healthcare.gov, one of the first things you do is enter in some information about your household income and you know, job status, and the system will actually tell you, here, it looks like you're eligible for your state's Medicaid program. At that point, you would need to go over to Badger Care or to the state Medicaid office and get a formal eligibility determination, but healthcare.gov will direct you to the right place.
And when Patty seeks information for her relative, will the relative need to be with Patty to share information, or how does that work?
Yeah, in most cases, yes, unless Patty has a power of attorney or clear legal right to act as her relative's representative. But if not, yes, the relative is ultimately the one that needs to make the decisions.
Patty, thanks so much for the call. We also got a caller from Oconomowoc who couldn't stay with us. He says he makes between $40,000 and $50,000 a year and enrolls in health insurance through work. And he's wondering if he should consider plans on the exchange or if it's best to stick with the employer option because of premium costs.
Yeah, in most cases, people are better off sticking with their employer plan, especially at that income level, partly because the employer usually kicks in some portion of the premium. Also, your premium contribution when you buy through an employer plan is tax-free. In most cases, people are better off by getting coverage through their employer. There are a few cases where you may not be if you have a particularly, not very generous employer plan. In that case, you can go to healthcare.gov and shop around. There's nothing to prevent you from checking your options out and seeing if you might get a better value there. But in most cases, people will be better off with their job-based plan.
And there's a lot of attention to detail here and getting into the fine print of these plans. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Shopping for health insurance is one of the most complicated transactions anyone has to do because it's not just about the premium. It's about, you know, your health status and can you afford a high deductible and are your doctors in the network? And if you're taking a drug, is the drug on the health plan's formulary? I mean, there's all kinds of questions people have to ask going into this transaction. And it has big implications in terms of your health and your financial security.
And also how much risk you want to take if the plan is very limited. Are there still these limited plans out there?
Well, the good news is if you're buying on the marketplace, all of those plans have to provide a minimum level of financial protection. Your out-of-pocket costs are capped. And the plan has to cover, at a very bare minimum, at least 60% of average costs. If you're buying outside the marketplace, direct from a company or direct through a broker, you got to be a little bit more careful because there are plans that may not offer the kind of protection that you need or want.
We're talking with Sabrina Corlett. She is a research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act open enrollment season that begins today, November 1st, and the window to get a plan, change your plan, ends on December 15th, so a shorter time period for open enrollment season. Bring your questions, 800-642-1234. Have you started shopping for plans. What have you seen? What's been your experience in finding a health plan? Have you found help along the way? Where did you find that help? 800-642-1234. You can also post your questions on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Sabrina, those who don't purchase healthcare coverage will still owe a penalty at tax time that is a carryover from the Obamacare law. But do you think some potential customers may opt not to buy a plan and then run with this assumption that the law will be repealed before a tax penalty can be imposed on them?
Well, you know, there may be some people willing to take that risk, but you know, it is a risk. We know this past year Congress attempted multiple times to try to repeal the Affordable Care Act as well as this individual mandate requirement, which is universally hated. But even still, they didn't succeed. So I would say you're taking a big risk, both in terms of, you know, having to pay that penalty, but also, if something should happen to you, if you should have an unexpected health problem, you won't have that financial protection that health insurance provides.
When they say shop around, can you give us some basic instructions for what to be looking for in these plans, almost like a list, if you will, to try to understand what we are shopping around for?
Well, sure, I can try, but of course that may vary person to person. The first thing is, if you are currently enrolled in coverage, and even if you're pretty happy with it, you're probably going to still want to go to healthcare.gov and check out your options. And that is, again, because that premium subsidy, the tax credit that you get to lower your premium, has gone up this year, you are probably going to be able to get a better deal on your premium and also potentially on your cost sharing thanks to that increased subsidy. So the first thing you want to look for is, you know, can I get a lower premium? And also maybe could I get a more generous plan? And by that I mean a plan with a lower deductible or lower co-payments or co-insurance for services that I know I'm likely to use. So that would be the first thing I would look for. The other thing, as you mentioned earlier, is there's a couple of companies in Wisconsin that are no longer going to be offering coverage. Well, if you're enrolled with that plan or with that company, you're obviously going to want to go in and check out what other companies might be available. Do you like their doctor networks? If you are taking a particular drug, does this company cover that drug? I mean, these are really important things you're going to want to check out. But what people look for and what they end up enrolling in and what might be right for them is so individual, based on their health status, their interest in particular doctors and hospitals, and their tolerance for financial risk.
And what about big life changes, such as pregnancy or a cancer diagnosis?
That's right. And a lot of that stuff is stuff you just can't predict. So that's why, I think everybody should be prepared. And so, for example, if you decide, well, gee, I'm really healthy, I'm going to sign up for a low premium plan that has a high deductible, you just want to be financially prepared should something unexpected happen. Do I have the cash on hand to pay that big deductible? And these deductibles could be $5,000, $6,000. Do you have that kind of cash lying around to pay, God forbid, you get that cancer diagnosis or you have an accident that requires a hospitalization?
We have an email here from Jane who says that you mentioned that tax subsidies are still available for people with incomes below $47,000. And Jane is wondering, is this individual income or do I need to include the income of my husband for household income? And is this still taxable income?
Right. So I was referring to an individual salary. The subsidy caps out at about $47,000 roughly. But no, once you add in a family, whether it's a spouse or kids, the subsidy goes up to reflect the size of the family. So the way it works is it's the subsidy is calculated based on the family income relative to the federal poverty line. Folks who are about up to four times the income of the federal poverty line will be eligible for a subsidy. So, you know, family of five will get a much larger subsidy than a single person.
And the first kind of hurdle, perhaps, or the first step in the process maybe is to look about, you know, are you eligible for a subsidy and what is that subsidy worth as a starting point?
That's absolutely right. There are a lot of folks who are uninsured right now who would actually be eligible for a lot of financial help to get them covered. So the first thing you do when you go to healthcare.gov is, you know, use the interactive system to try to figure out if you might get one of those premium subsidies as well as help with deductibles and other types of cost sharing.
And healthcare.gov has been taken down for quite a bit of recurring maintenance. What do we know about this and how resilient it will be for handling the traffic of customers?
Well, knock on wood, it should be fine. You know, it's had a few years of testing and work through. So it's as far as we know, it's functioning well. Although today will be a test day, because I imagine a lot of people will be using it. The Trump administration has announced that it will be shutting down regularly on Sunday mornings for just sort of regular maintenance. So folks should be aware that it won't be available most Sunday mornings. But otherwise, it should be working, and hopefully things will go smoothly. I've got fingers and toes crossed here.
Sabrina, outside of getting insurance through your job, are there any alternatives to the state or federal exchanges?
Yeah, absolutely. Folks can still buy coverage directly from an insurance company. Obviously, there's also, if you're eligible, there's BadgerCare in Wisconsin. But if you are not eligible for financial help through the marketplaces, you may actually be better off just going direct through an insurance company or through a reputable insurance broker to find a plan outside the exchange.
And why would you buy directly?
Well, one reason is that you may actually be able to find a cheaper premium for the same coverage that you can get on the marketplace. And that's partly because I mentioned earlier that the Trump administration had cut off subsidies for these cost-sharing plans. So insurers had to increase their premiums on the marketplace as a result. But there isn't the same premium increase for plans available outside the marketplace or the exchange. So it's at least worth maybe working through a reputable broker or going directly to an insurance company to see what's available, especially if you do not qualify for those income-related subsidies.
Here are some coverage numbers on Wisconsin. The state's partial expansion has resulted in reducing the uninsured rate to 5.3% of the state's population in 2016. That's compared with 9.1% in 2013. Health experts here in Wisconsin say there are plans available in every single county in Wisconsin. And for 2018, marketplace premiums are rising an average of 36%. People who buy insurance on their own through the exchange and who don't receive federal subsidies are going to see the greatest premium hikes. Sabrina Corlett is our guide this hour. She is a research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms, at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. Bring your questions, your reflections on healthcare in America and at home here in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Are you shopping for a health plan on healthcare.gov? Are you scheduling it on your calendar as open enrollment season begins today and it ends on December 15th? A shorter enrollment. How will you go through working on your health plan? 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this news update. About 200,000 people in Wisconsin receive federal subsidies in the form of tax credits to help offset the cost of health insurance. Here we are on the first day of open enrollment season for the Affordable Care Act. It's the 1st of November, and this is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. People who buy a plan through the ACA will have a shorter enrollment period, among other challenges. We're discussing the twists and turns of American healthcare with Sabrina Corlett. She is a research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. She's fielding your questions at 800-642-1234. Will you be using the marketplace this year to purchase a healthcare plan? Have you already scoped out plans? What are prices and plan coverages looking like to you? Join in the discussion, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Dean, who joins us from Endeavor. Hi, Dean. Go ahead.
Good morning, ma'am. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll try to make this as quick as I can. My wife and I and my four children are self-employed. We've been on the Badger Care plan for about 14 or 15 years. Our income has gotten high enough that we're paying a premium now, and they told us that when we file our taxes in April, our income will be above the cap and will no longer be eligible. So what my question is once April comes and I'm kicked out of the Badger Care plan, what do I do for the other 8 months of the year? Do I have to go into the marketplace, which I have already looked at, so I have an idea of the prices now, and purchase insurance that I can activate in April, or how do I handle that?
Sabrina.
Yeah, sure. So good for you. First of all, sounds like your business is going well, and for being responsible and checking this health stuff out. The good news is you do not have to buy a marketplace or exchange plan now. Once you lose eligibility for Badger Care, that will trigger what's called a special enrollment opportunity, and you will have 60 days from the loss of your eligibility for Badger Care to go on to healthcare.gov and shop around and check out your whether you can get a financial subsidy and enroll in a plan then. So I would wait until you officially are told you're no longer eligible for Badger Care.
So this open enrollment season doesn't apply yet to Dean.
No. When folks have life events during the year, whether it's loss of coverage on a state program or employer-based coverage, or they have a baby, those kinds of things all trigger this special enrollment period, which can happen at any point during the year, depending on what happens to you.
Dean, thanks for the call. Let's now go to Don, who is calling from Duluth. Oh, I'm sorry, Don's not with us. Terry from Green Bay called, and he's asking, how many people normally get coverage through the ACA? He says, isn't this a small fraction of the population?
Yeah, it is. I can speak nationally. I'm not sure exactly the numbers in Wisconsin, but nationally, the vast majority of people under age 65 get their coverage through their employer. It's about 150, 160 million people. And compare that to the number of people who buy through the ACA marketplaces at about 10 million and change. It's obviously a pretty small fraction of the overall coverage picture. But I would say that the individual market is, while it's small, it's important because it's really that place where, if you're in between jobs or if you need to take some time off to care for a family member or you want to launch a new business, that's the place where you have to go to get coverage. So it's important that the market work well and that there are insurance options available for people who are going through those life transitions.
Don from Duluth, Minnesota, he couldn't stay with us. He wants to know where he can find information about health plans that exist for Medicare supplements. Is that on the exchange? Is there one that's better than others?
No, you cannot find Medicare supplemental plans on the healthcare.gov website. But you can either through an insurance broker in your community or also through I can't remember exactly the URL for it, but there is a site you can go to find your Medicare options.
And that's a different enrollment period, is that right?
It is, yes. It is a somewhat different enrollment period. It is in the fall. I don't remember.
Yeah, a little bit later, I think, in November is, or, yeah. Okay, well, Don, thank you so much for that question. Sabrina, looking to Congress now, it seems like the GOP for the first time has moved on, trying to pass a tax reform package after trying a handful of times to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. But is this effort dead, or can you do we expect them to try again in 2018?
Oh, that's a great question. It's interesting. There has emerged a bipartisan bill that would actually, at least temporarily, try to stabilize or shore up the marketplaces. A bill sponsored by Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee and Senator Murray from Washington. It's not clear if that will pass or what, but I have not heard any discussion or suggestion at this time that they're going to take another crack at repeal, at least not in the short term. But you know, who knows? I've learned to expect the unexpected.
We just wait and see what percolates.
Right.
Well, we have another email flowing in here from Julie, who wants to know, who wants to clarification on whether a person is eligible for premium subsidies if they get insurance through their employer.
Well, the answer is maybe. Most people probably won't. If you have if you're eligible for employer-based coverage, even if you don't actually sign up for it, you could be barred from getting financial help or subsidies through the marketplaces. There are exceptions to that. If your employer plan is unaffordable to you, or if it doesn't meet a minimum standard of quality or generosity. So the thing to do if you're not sure if you could be in that situation is to go to healthcare.gov. There's a form you can fill out that tries to assess the value and affordability of your employer-based coverage. And if it doesn't meet those tests, then you could be eligible for financial help and get a plan on the marketplace.
So it sounds like there are some preliminary questions you can answer to get a pretty quick read about your eligibility.
Yep, that's right. You know, the goal here is, you know, if somebody's eligible for employer-based coverage, they don't want them all getting federal tax credits, so to help financial help through the exchange is to try to keep the employer dollars on the table to help people get coverage that way.
Sabrina, from your analysis on the Affordable Care Act, is it going to take a bipartisan healthcare solution to figure out what is the next step for healthcare for Americans?
You know, I think so. And it's interesting, you know, I'm a researcher and more of an academic, but when I look at the folks who study these issues and work on healthcare policy, both from the right and the left of the political spectrum, there's actually a pretty remarkable consensus about what needs to be done to improve this individual market and make it more functional and work better for people. So I do ultimately think there could be a bipartisan compromise, but it's almost like we need to sort of let people get this political rhetoric out of their system and see if we can turn a corner and move on to something a little more pragmatic and more oriented towards compromise.
Yeah, and so if there is some common ground that you're seeing, what is the holdup? Why can't we get our head around this?
Oh, boy, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a political expert at all, obviously we have, many Republicans who campaigned for 7 years on repealing Obamacare, and I think they feel that they've made a promise to their voters to do that, and so anything short of that to them maybe feels like failure. On the other hand, got caught up this year and sort of, well, okay, if you repeal it, that could throw a lot of millions of people off of coverage, and so you have to replace it with something, and they couldn't get consensus on what to replace it with. So they're in a bit of a bind, and I'm not sure quite how they get out of it. There was this, as I mentioned, bipartisan effort between Senators Alexander and Murray, and maybe that's sort of the path forward, but I almost feel like I still think there are a lot of Republican members of Congress who feel like anything short of repeal is tantamount to failure. I don't agree with that, but I think that sort of feeling is there.
So here we are on the first day of open enrollment season. What are you looking for on open enrollment numbers at the end of the year? What will you be watching?
Well, I think inevitably enrollment will decline. Part of it is because there's just less advertising and outreach and help to reach out to those folks who are still uninsured. I also think that because of all of the uncertainty coming out of Washington, prices have gone up. And if you're not eligible for subsidies, if you just make a little bit too much money so you don't get subsidies, there's a lot of folks who are going to face big premium increases and who just simply can't afford it anymore. These are hardworking people trying to do the right thing. So I'm worried that there are folks who will just drop their coverage because they just can't make that premium anymore. So I do think we'll see an uptick in the number of uninsured and fewer people enrolling, unfortunately.
Sabrina, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Sabrina Corlett. She is a research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. This hour of the morning show was produced by Chris Molina and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer and provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and you're staying informed right here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.